Farms. Next Sunday, we'll be returning to the book of John. We're going to be going into the sixth chapter of John next Sunday. But today, have a special message from God's Word in the book of Psalms in the 33rd chapter. And just again to make sure it's clear this evening on choir, we're just going to have a brief choir practice afterwards, okay? We're going to review the song that we'll sing for next Sunday, choir, if you can do that this evening. We're not going to be here a long time. I know there's things going on and things happening, and I know we have some things happening in our house as well. But we'll review the song for next Sunday morning, and we appreciate you there. But do pray for this evening. I'm looking forward to this evening as well, and a time of prayer for our country. Psalms, the 33rd chapter and the 12th verse. Psalm chapter 33 and verse number 12. Let's stand, and I'm going to read, and then we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Psalm chapter 33, verse number 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. And I especially want to focus today on the beginning of that verse. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you today for this time. We thank you for this Sunday. What a special Sunday, Lord, as an American, to remember our heritage and those who went before us, those that died, that we might have the rights and freedoms that we have to meet here freely today, that we might have the right of carrying a Bible and having more than one Bible in our home, and that we may be free to speak to others about the glories and wonders of Christ. Lord, there are some countries, many in the world today, who have not these freedoms. They have not those who were willing to pay a price, not those who were blessed with such a grace and such an opportunity as we have. Lord, we thank you. We do not take it lightly today, Father. We thank you for the privilege that is ours to be Americans. And Lord, we ask that today as we look into your word, that you would bless this time in your word, that you would use it to challenge your people today, that we may be more challenged than ever to stand for what is truth and to praise your name for the nation that you have given us. For truly blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We ask now your blessings upon this time. May each heart here today be spoken to, be ministered to, be edified by thee. Speak to hearts, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. All right, please be seated. So I was considering this morning and what to speak on this morning from God's Word. Psalm 33:12 came out. It was just like the Lord was saying, this is it. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And as you think about that this morning, and we consider that statement, obviously the psalmist here was writing concerning Israel. That Israel was a theocracy. They were to be a nation that was led by God. That's how they began. And they began that way, and we go through the book of Judges, and we see that they did not like being a theocracy, and so they went to having a monarchy, a king. God still used them. God still blessed them. But it wasn't God's original intent. He intended for them to be a theocracy. Now, God is not calling us as America to be a theocracy. We do not have a covenant with God like Israel had a covenant with God. But it is still a truth that I believe goes forth, an eternal truth, that blessed is the nation, not just Israel, who had a very special covenant relationship with God, but any nation who will make the God of the Bible their God, will make the Lord of the Bible their Lord, they can be blessed of God. That's a truth. Now, when we look back and we look at the history of our country, we find out that in America, listen, we had some people that loved the Lord God, that feared God, that feared and reverenced His Word, and founded our country upon these principles. I don't care what the secularists are telling you today, the progressives are telling you today, or how they're trying to twist history. America was founded by men who feared and loved God. And if you begin to read statements of such men, and I'm going to read you just three this morning, there are way more than three. There are many, many, many. But you would find that these were a people, again, that feared and loved God. I want to give you the first one. His name is John Dickinson. He was a signer of the Constitution, a governor of Pennsylvania, also was a governor of Delaware. He was a general in the American Revolution. Listen to what he said. Again, a signer of our Constitution. rendering thanks to my Creator for my existence and stationed among His works for my birth in a country enlightened by the gospel and enjoying freedom, and for all His other kindnesses, to Him I resign myself humbly, confiding in His goodness and in His mercy, listen, through Jesus Christ for the events of eternity. He also said this, governments could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and the Lord of all the earth. Now, he wasn't afraid about using the name of Jesus Christ. He wasn't afraid about offending anybody. I'm telling you, the early fathers of America had no fear about naming the name of Jesus Christ, nor were they ashamed of the Word of God. Let me give you another one, and we're going to come back to him a little bit later. And I really, this guy, I want to read more about him because he seemed to have a fervent fire in his bosom for the Lord Jesus Christ. But his name was Benjamin Rush. He was a signer of the Declaration of Independence and a ratifier of the U.S. Constitution. Now listen, he is considered the father of public schools under the Constitution. Now, if he could come out of his grave today, I don't think the public school system and where they are is anything that he thought or intended it to be. Because you listen here to what he has to say, what he wrote. Listen, he begins right here. The gospel of Jesus Christ prescribes the wisest rules for just conduct in every situation of life. Wow. Happy they who are enabled to obey them in all situations. My only hope of salvation is in the infinite, transcendent love of God manifested to the world by the death of His Son upon the cross. May God give us politicians who will speak with such clearness and clarity and such boldness of Christ today. Nothing but His blood will wash away my sins. I rely exclusively upon it. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. He also said, I do not believe that the Constitution was the offspring of inspiration, but I am as satisfied that it is as much the work of divine providence as any of the miracles recorded in the Old and New Testament. He is giving God the credit for bringing our nation together. He saw the divine hand of God in the birth of this nation. Let me give you one more. His name is John Witherspoon. He also was a signer of the Declaration of Independence. He was a ratifier of the U.S. Constitution. He was the president of Princeton University. Oh, for Princeton to have such presidents again today. Christ Jesus, the promise of old, made unto the fathers, the hope of Israel, the light of the world, and the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth, is the only Savior of sinners. In opposition to all false religions and every instituted rite, as He Himself says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by Me. He goes on in another place and says, if you are not reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, if you are not clothed with the spotless robe of His righteousness, you must forever perish. He said He is the best friend to American liberty, who is the most sincere and active in promoting true and undefiled religion, and who sets Himself with the greatest firmness to bear down profanity and immorality of every kind. Whoever is an avowed enemy of God, I scruple not to call him an enemy to his country. You know what he just did? He just called the majority of our current congressmen and senators and all those who deny the person of Jesus Christ, he called them enemies of this country. Well, you don't see this in the school books in school, do you? I mean, you go read the history of our country in the school books, public school books, where are such men? He was a signer of the Declaration of Independence. And these are just three men I have read you this morning. There are many, many more who said just the same, alike. They weren't all Baptists. They maybe were Presbyterians. There were Methodists. They were different faiths. But there was one God and one way to that God that they saw, Christ and Christ alone. There was one word. It was the Word of God, the Bible. Now, I got online, and I was going to read you something else, and I'm going to save it for tonight because we just don't have the time. But just in seeing, I got online and I watched some debates about the heritage of our country and how people try to take and twist the truth of our founding fathers. It's amazing to me how they try to lie and to deceive. Okay, well, let's say this morning that we could debate the heritage of our country. I think the evidence is overwhelming. I wasn't there when it took place. But I think the evidence, the quotes, the records, the writings that we have of these men and women are so overwhelmingly clear that it should be no doubt to us about the heritage of our country. But let's say this morning, just for the sake of argument, that it's not clear. Well, one thing to us this morning is absolutely clear. That is, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Can't argue with that one. All right? I mean, you might want to argue with the history of our country. We might want to debate the facts and all those things. Again, evidence overwhelmingly clear. But you can't argue about that unless you're going to deny the authority of Scripture. Now, I want to ask you a question this morning. Why is the nation blessed whose God is the Lord? I mean, if we see the truth in Scripture that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, why is that nation blessed? Why is that nation happy? Why does that nation have such a gift of grace upon it? Why? Number one, I want to share with you this morning, because they have His precepts to guide them. They have His precepts, His truth, His word to guide them. You see, as we begin to go back and we look in the history, we find out that these early fathers of America believed in the Word of God. Did you know what Andrew Jackson said? He said, "The Bible is the rock on which our republic rests." It is the rock on which our republic rests. What is? The Word of God. Let's go back here and look very quickly with me in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. What we have today is we have a people who do not want to build our country upon the Word of God. They want to build the country on their philosophy, on their thinking, on what they believe to be true. I remember in Lithuania, as you're turning over there to Matthew chapter 7, we had a young lady who in our church who was from France. And the European Union was trying to put together their constitution, and I forget, it was some huge document. And in the document, which she read, because she was to vote on that constitution, as she read it, she said, "Pastor, it specifically says in there that the platform of the European constitution is humanism." And we have people in our country today that want to make us like Europe. Why in the world would we want to be like Europe? Why in the world would we want to go to that kind of secular society? You all are quiet here today, but I'm going to speak to you from my heart, because I'm telling you, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Amen. And I don't care if you kick me out. I don't care if they put me in jail. That is a truth, and I will stand upon that truth, and I will proclaim that truth. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. It's not humanism that we need. It's God that we need, and it's His Word that we need. And when we're resting upon His Word, there's a foundation that we are standing upon that does not move. Look here in Matthew chapter 7. And go down there with me to verse number 24. "Therefore," Christ says, "whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a" what? "A rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." What is the rock? His teachings, His Word, the Word of God. It is the rock in which we rest. And when the floods of life come, and the winds come, and the storms blow, guess what? If your house is built upon the rock, your house is going to stand. Why? Because the Word of God is eternal truth. It does not move. It is absolute truth. It does not just contain truth, it is truth. You got to watch how people speak to you today. You got to watch about what they really say about the Bible. There are many today, well, I believe it contains truth. Yeah, it contains truth. It is truth. Not just containing it, it is it. And we can trust in it, and we can build our lives upon it, and we should be building our country upon it. Why? Because it doesn't move. We go on down a little bit more, and we see there in verse 26, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." All other nations that are building themselves upon humanistic, secular philosophies of man do not stand. Do you know that there's somewhere around 195 countries in the United Nations that are members of the United Nations? And you could begin to go down the list of those countries, and you know what you're going to find? Many of those countries, over and over and over again, have had to change their form of government on average about every 40 to 50 years. You even look at France. I believe since the time of our inception as a country, over that 200-year period of time, I believe France has changed their government 5 times. I think Russia, from the early 1900s, from the time of the Tsar, have had some 7 changes in their constitution, in their government. Why? Because it's not founded upon the Word of God. It will not stand. And when troubles come and when the winds begin to blow, that government is going to crumble. But the government that will stand upon the Word of God and desire that God be their Lord, it is going to be blessed by God. Why? Because they have absolute truth from God that they can stand upon, that they can build their nation upon. God, bring us a country, bring us a president, bring us leaders who will trust and follow your Word. That's what we need as a country today. And so we consider here the Word of God. It is the foundation of the truth in which we build, in which we stand. But also the Word of God, it is a lamp that enlightens between right and wrong. When you don't have the Word of God being taught, who knows what is right and who knows what is wrong? Did you know how many people I speak to today that tell me it is what you feel in your heart? My heart tells me what is right. My heart tells me what is wrong. Well, you're in trouble. You're going to do what your heart does. You're in trouble. The Bible tells us that the heart is deceitful. It's wicked above all things, Jeremiah says. Who can trust it? And if you're really honest and you begin to think about times your heart has deceived you, every one of us in this room could raise our hand and give examples of times when our heart deceived us. It lied to us. We can't trust our heart. You know what we can trust? The eternal truth of God's Word. It tells us what is right and what is wrong. You know, we look into our country today and we consider all that is taking place around us. And you know what we find out? The reason that this Word, this Bible, is being attacked so fervently by the left is because they don't want to know what is right and wrong. They want to do what their heart tells them to do. They don't want to submit to anyone. Do you know what I have found? That those same group who deny that our country has a godly heritage, that deny the quotes that I read to you earlier and the facts of information that I have given you, that deny the godly heritage, is the same group that denies that there's a creator God who... I saw it on TV. I'm watching them. And I'm thinking, okay, they're talking about this subject. All of a sudden, now they're bringing creation into it. And they're saying it's the same group of fools who believe that our country was founded by godly men are the same fools that believe that there's a creator God. Well, call me a fool. Because I just believe God's word for what God's word says. And I believe you're pretty foolish if you think you're a descendant of some monkey, right? I mean, that you came from some tadpole. I mean, we could start going into that this morning and we could see the foolishness of Darwinism, of evolution. Well, you're taking a leap of faith to believe that lie. So it's much simpler just to take God at His word and say, wow, God says it, I believe it, that finishes it. And so here we see from the Word of God that as we look into it, it tells us what is right and wrong. Listen, why are our teenagers today in such a mess? Why are our people today in such a mess? I'll tell you why. Because we don't have the Word of God. I'm coming there in a second, Mary. That's because we don't have the Word of God. We don't have the Bible being taught in our schools. We don't have the Bible being taught in our homes. And therefore, we know not the difference between right and wrong. Listen, it is the word of truth. As we study it, as we look into it, it is the lamp and the light that gives direction to our feet and to our path. It leads us into righteousness. It leads us to right thinking, to right actions. What our country needs today is the word of God. And blessed is the country that has the Lord, because it is a country that has the precepts of the Lord, the teachings of the Lord. It is a country that has the lamp of God's truth that leads them to righteousness and truth, to the difference between right and wrong. What does Hebrews say over there? As we begin to intake God's word, it delivers us, it shows us right and wrong. It does. It's the only way to know that difference. But thirdly, why the precepts of God to guide them? Thirdly, not only does it guide us into that foundation, into right and wrong, but also it is the word of God that is the power of God unto salvation. Listen, what we need in America is the word of God being proclaimed, that people have opportunity to be regenerated, born again, made alive through the truth of God's word. Turn over there with me to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter. And go to chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. And go down with me in verses 23 through 25. As you're turning there, I'm going to read to you another man. John Jay was his name. He was president of Congress. He was the author of the Federalist Papers. He was the original Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. And listen to what he said. By conveying the Bible to people, we certainly do them a most interesting act of kindness. We thereby enable them to learn that man was originally created and placed in a state of happiness, but becoming disobedient was subjected to the degradation and evils which he has his posterity have since experienced. The Bible will also inform them that our gracious Creator has provided for us a Redeemer in whom all the nations of the earth should be blessed, that this Redeemer has made atonement for the sins of the world, and thereby reconciling the divine justice with the divine mercy has opened a way for our redemption and salvation, and that these inestimable benefits are of the free gift and grace of God, not of our deserving, nor in our power to deserve. The Bible will also encourage them with many explicit and consoling assurances of the divine mercy to our fallen race, and with repeated invitations to accept the offers of pardon and reconciliation. He was the first justice of the Supreme Court of America. Did you hear what he just said? I'm just telling you this morning, again, the evidence is overwhelming. And so as we look here in 1 Peter, look down with me in verse number 23. Well, we go back up here, just one verse. Verse 22, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Do you see here that it is the word of God, the incorruptible seed, perfect seed of God, which is the power of God unto salvation, to birth us, to regenerate us? As we hear the word of God and the truths of God's word, there's something special about the word of God. And as the Holy Spirit of God blesses that and convicts us of that truth, and when we by faith step out and receive that truth, we are born of the Spirit of God, made alive unto God for the glory of His name. What we need today in America is not a reformed people, we need a regenerated people. We need a people who are born again, not of the corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. But my friend, how can they hear without a preacher? Faith comes by hearing, Paul said, and hearing by what? The word of God. The word of God must be proclaimed. It needs to be proclaimed in our pulpits.
It needs to be proclaimed, the truth. The problem is we have many pastors who have that kind of wet noodle for a backbone who are unwilling to preach the truth of God's Word, afraid they might offend some people, afraid that people may leave their church. I'd be more worried about offending my God. I'd be more worried about standing before Him one day and giving account to my life. Listen, I want to be gracious and I want to be loving. I want to be a man who walks in grace and truth. And God, give me that grace to be that man. But never let me compromise. Never let me fear the scorn of man. Let me live for Your glory and for Your praise, my Lord. And I'm sharing with you today what America needs are preachers who will preach from the pulpit the Word of God, the truth of God, fearlessly and boldly for His glory. If you go back to the revolution of our country and the birth of our country, do you know what you will find? You're going to find men like George Whitefield. You're going to find men who fearlessly proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're going to find men like Jonathan Edwards, who prayed and sought God for a revival, for an awakening in this country. And that awakening came. But you know what? It came mixed with the proclaiming of the truth of God's Word. God's Word must be proclaimed that people may hear, that people, the Holy Spirit may work, and that they may be saved. That's what we need. I'm going to speak to you a little bit more about that in just a moment on that regeneration. But that is why one of the reasons this country, or the country that has the Lord, is blessed, because of the Word of God. Now let me give you a second thought why we're blessed. The country who chooses the Lord, that it is blessed because they not only have His Word to guide them, but they have His provision to guard them. Go back there with me to the book of Psalms, and we're going to look in a couple of places here, okay? Psalms let's go first to Psalm 127, verse number 1. And then we're going to go back to Psalm 33. Psalm 127 first. And let's go down to verse number 1. And here we read the thought that from Psalm 127, verse 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Abraham Lincoln said this, my concern is not whether God is on our side. My great concern is to be on God's side. It's not whether God is on our side, he's saying, but if I am on God's side. And it does not matter when we look at it and we're trying to figure all these things out and do everything in our own strength as a country, and we want to do it by our intelligence and by what we figure out and by the inventions that we have created. Look, you're going to fail. You are going to fail. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is only by the power and blessing and provision of God that we will prevail, and nothing else. Now go back with me to Psalm 33 and look down there with me. And I want you to see in verse number 1, Psalm 33, where we were earlier. He said, rejoice in the Lord, verse 1, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. It's lovely, it's beautiful, it becometh the upright to give praise to God. Praise the Lord with the harp. Sing unto Him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto Him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud voice. For the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depths in storehouse. Let all the earth fear the Lord that... let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generations. And then we read, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. He is saying there, look, the nation that has the Lord as its God, the nation that has the God as its Lord is going to be blessed. Why? Because He is a faithful and a true God. He will keep His word. He will do what He said He would do. He is a good God. He is the omnipotent God who created this earth, who did all. He is all-powerful God, all-wise God, infinite in His intelligence. And then we come down and he says back there in that verse number 10, he brings the counsel of the heathen to nothing, to vanity. You know, when you hear all those heathen, those who reject God, those who reject God's word, those who reject God's creation, and you hear their counsel, you know what you should be thinking? Not is it true, but how foolish they are for disagreeing with God who is always true. We don't have to wonder about their truth. If they are teaching anything that disagrees with the word of God, they are not true. And so he says, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. I don't know exactly when this took place, but in America, somewhere in our society, there came a time when we decided that we knew better than God. I wasn't alive during these times. I was alive when a very important decision was made. And it was made somewhere in 1962 when they decided to take prayer out of the public schools. And you read the arguments why we should not have prayers in the public schools. Listen, it's foolishness. Oh, well, we're a nation of all people. We're a melting pot of all people. Listen, who were our forefathers? What was our country founded upon? What has brought blessing to us? Being like Europe? Absolutely not. What has brought blessing to us? Surrendering to God, putting God first, believing in Him, seeking His blessing. That is what's brought blessing to our country. You look in 1962, and from the time that that decision was made to remove prayer from our schools, there were many interesting things that began to take place in our country. And the evidence is overwhelming. You begin to look, for example, pregnancies in teenage girls. This is by the year 1994, from 62 to 94, went up, and I'm reading here to you, 400%. Teenage pregnancies up 400%, not 10%, not 15%, not 100%, 400%. Sexually transmitted diseases, now listen, gonorrhea among students of the ages 10 to 14 went up 400%. Rapes by boys 13 to 14 years old increased 186%. Student suicides is up 253%. Violent crimes increased, listen, 660% between 1962 and 2003. 660%. I saw a graph. And the graph was showing the direction that it had been going as far as incarcerations, those in prison in our country. And up to 1962, it was fairly flat. Maybe even going down a little bit. But in 1962, when they took prayer out of our schools and they tried to remove God, listen, what were they saying when they took prayers out of school? God, we don't need you. We can do this ourselves. We are strong enough ourselves. Who are you? We don't want your leadership in our life. And God said, okay, I'll let you have what you want. And those incarcerations, those in prison, it almost just shot up, just steadily going up every year. I think today something like 2.5 million people in prison. 660%. Listen, is it just a coincidence? I mean, did it just happen to come and be that way when they took prayer out of school? All these things just started happening in 62. It's just a coincidence that it happened. Absolutely not. You don't want God. You don't want God's blessing. You don't want God's hand unless the Lord is watching the city. Unless He is building the house, we are laboring in vain. And unless we are trusting in God to guide and to build our country and to guide and build our homes and to guide and build our churches, listen, we are laboring in vain, that labor. We need Him. Go back over there with me, and I'm going to read you something else here in just a moment, but go back to Psalm 33. He says down here, and we saw, blessed is the nation, verse 12, whose God is the Lord. Go down with me to verse 13. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king save by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. Wow. You can find examples of that in the Bible, right? Men who thought they were almighty. Men who thought that by their strength they would prevail. And God humbled them. God broke them. God showed them, look, there's one God. There's one omnipotent power. There's one Lord of lords and King of kings. Verse 17. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Verse 22, let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Man, what kind of mercy would we have in our country? According as our leadership is hoping in you, O God, so let your mercy be upon us. We're not going to have much mercy, are we? Because we're not hoping in the God of the Bible. We're not hoping in the Lord God. We're embarrassed of him. We're running from him. We're trying to do it by our own strength. I just pray today for fathers that are here. If you could pray that prayer in your families and in your homes, let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon my family. According as I am hoping in you. God, according as I am trusting in you. And I am proclaiming, I'm teaching your word to my family. And I am praying for my children. I'm trusting in you to do something I cannot do. To raise up a godly seed for your glory. Lord, according to my hope in you. According to my faith in you to do it. So let your mercy be upon me. That's the kind of fathers we need. These are the kind of leaders we need in our country. Who will hope not in vanity and the ways of man and the strength of man, but will hope in the God of all mercy. Folks, that is the mercy we need in our country today. It is the mercy that we're missing today. Ronald Reagan said this in 1962, and I'm going to give you the conclusion. Well, what he said, he didn't say this in 62, but he said it of the 62 Supreme Court ruling that banned prayers. The court banned the reading of the Bible. He said, we had to pass a special law to allow student prayer groups the same access to schoolrooms that a young Marxist society enjoys. Without God, there is a coarsening of the society. Now listen, if we ever forget that we are one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under. If we ever forget that we are one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under. Folks, that's truth. Whether you agree or not with his politics, it's truth. If we forget the God of Scripture, if we forget the God of the Bible, if we think we're going to do it by our own strength, folks, we're going under. And it's happening right before our eyes. Now, let me come to this second thought here, and we're going to be done. What can I do to help America to have God as her Lord that she might be blessed? What can I do? I'm just an individual. I'm not an elected official. What can I do? I want to give you three thoughts of what you can do, and we're going to go home, okay? Number one, you can vote and get involved. You can vote and get involved. I want to read you something that James Garfield, the 20th president of these United States, what he said. Now, he said this again back in the 1800s. Now listen to what he said and hear the truth that's in it for us today. Now more than ever, the people are responsible for the character of their Congress. Who's responsible for the character of our Congress? We are. If that body be ignorant, reckless, and corrupt, it is because the people tolerate ignorance, recklessness, and corruption. Whoa. Is there some truth in what he just said? If it be intelligent, brave, and pure, it is because the people demand these qualities to represent them in the national legislature. If the next centennial does not find us a great nation, it will be because those who represent the enterprise, the culture, and the morality of the nation do not aid in controlling the political forces. What he is saying right there is that you and I, voters, are responsible for our votes. We are. We hold the power. Man, praise God for the gift of grace he has given to us to vote in our country. But folks, we need to check out who we are voting for. I'm not telling you a party to vote for. I look at who the candidate is. What does he stand for? What does he say about the Bible? What does he teach about abortion? What does he say about gay marriage? You notice I haven't even put the economy on this scale. That's like last on the list for me. And if somebody is pro-gay marriage, if somebody is pro-abortion, mark them off the list. We don't have any right to vote for them as Americans, as born-again Americans. How could we vote for such a people who are saying that murder is okay, that gay marriage is okay? It's not okay. It's against God's word. I don't care your party affiliation. It's against the word of God. And folks, I'm just telling you, as Christians, one day we're going to give account to God for how we vote. And if you voted into office somebody that was pro-abortion and pro-gay marriage and against God and against the truth of God's word, you are going to give an account for it. I remember people at the last election trying to give me justification for voting who they were voting for. You're silly. Voting the economy. Well, maybe we'll have a better economy if we get somebody different in there. Listen, where do they stand on these most important issues? We're accountable, folks. So, number one way we can make a difference, and I'm not saying this is the most important, I'm just saying this is one way, is by getting involved in voting, all right? And not only voting, if God calls you to get on a school board or if God calls you to political office, there's nothing wrong with a Christian getting involved and running for those offices. You can make a difference for your country. Second way we can make a difference in our country is by praying. We as a people of God should be crying out for our country, for revival to come to our country. I was online the other day and I was looking, and I don't know much about this man. I know he's on Bot Radio. His name is Michael Yosef. He has a program there. I don't know his doctrine. I know he's, if he's on Bot Radio, he's going to be fundamental on the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know that. I listened to a little bit of what he had to say and in his teaching, and I liked his passion. And right now what he is doing, he said this statement. I want you to listen to what he said. We are facing forces that are unabashedly declaring their intention to destroy this nation by disregarding the moral and biblical framework of the founders' convictions. Unless we become involved and are vigilant in prayer, we risk the loss of our freedoms. That is a true statement. And he is trying to raise up 100,000 Christians who will pray from July 4th to November 2nd of this year for revival in our country. And he's had this program going on for a while where he's been pushing and inviting people to come. And I got online and I saw he's only got 20,000 or so people signed up. I mean, he has a radio broadcast that goes out to 3 million people. He's got a church, I think, in Atlanta that runs somewhere around 3,000 people. So we figure his church got involved with it. But he's having trouble coming up with 100,000 Christians in America who will pledge, who will covenant together to pray for revival in our country. And we wonder why our country is in such despicable spiritual condition. It's because we, the people of God, will not pray. What was the song we sang this morning, Brother Jerry? What was the song about this morning? If we will seek Him, right? If we will come to Him, if we will cry out to Him, He will heal our land. Will we cry out? Will you pray? Will you covenant to pray for God to bring revival to our country? Folks, unless revival comes, I'm telling you, we're going to lose the freedoms that we have. I have an example already here of a freedom that was lost this week in America in the Supreme Court. I'm going to read it to you tonight. I don't have time this morning to read it. It was sent to me by Mike Whitehead, a lawyer here in Kansas City. He sent me the ruling and what it states and how it's going to affect our freedoms. We're already losing our freedoms. The freedoms that our forefathers fought that we might have, and we're losing them. Folks, unless we understand this is a battle, this is real, we need to be crying out for our country, for God to bring revival to it. And lastly, third way that we can make a difference in our country is by being a witness for Jesus Christ. Listen, we cannot legislate righteousness. We can't do it through the legislature. I'm not saying we don't strive to have laws that are good and right and in connection with God's word. I'm not saying that that's wrong. We should. But just like earlier I was sharing, what needs to take place in the hearts of men is regeneration. And unless we're out with the word of God, not just our pastors from our pulpits, praise God, may it be so, but our people in the pews. We don't come to our church to hear the gospel. The gospel's not something that we come here to hear. The gospel is something that we go from here to preach. Vance Havner said something like that. And my friend, that's what we need, is a people who understand our responsibility. If I have received the truth of Christ, if I believed in His gospel, I'm responsible to proclaim that gospel to the world in the power of His Spirit. I have a part. Each one of you of individuals has a part. And if we want to make a difference in our country, it's going to be when the people of God get active on their knees and get active on their feet going out. Blessed are the feet of those that preach the gospel of peace. The feet that go out and preach the message of hope and reconciliation, which is found only in Jesus Christ. But if we're going to do that, we're going to have to live that. And just this one last thought, and we're going to be done. Gypsy Smith said something like this. There are five gospels. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and there's you. And you're the gospel that many people are reading right now in your workplace tomorrow, in your neighborhoods. And many never get to the other four gospels because they see your gospel and what your life proclaims, and they see the inconsistencies and hypocrisies that are in our lives, and it turns them away from the truth of Christ. My friends, if we're going to proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ, we have to be willing to be salt in life, to live that truth. Listen, I want with all my heart for our country to come back to God. And I'll be honest with you this morning, when God called me back from the mission field, it wasn't the easiest thing I've ever done to come back. In fact, in many ways, the mission field was easier, the ministry there was easier than the ministry has been here in America. But in my heart of hearts, I couldn't get away from the fact that when I would come back to our country, each time I came back, it seemed that we as a country and also the church in general was a little bit farther away from the truth of God. And I had a burden in my heart for my country. And God, if you can use me in some way for our country, I'll go back to my country. And the Lord has allowed me to come back to a place that is really only about 20 minutes from where I grew up. I praise Him for the opportunity. Listen, I desire revival in America. But folks, it's going to have to be when each one of us begin to cry out to God for mercy in our country. Pray for our leaders. Doesn't Paul command us to pray for our leaders? To pray for all men. Why? Because God wants all men to be saved. We need to be in fervent prayer for our leaders and for their salvation. And then we need to be willing to take that truth out and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ, that men may hear, that they may be saved and be converted. Because that is what is going to bring revival and change to our country. Boy, there's so much more that could be said this morning. And I know this is a different message than I usually preach. But I want to tell you, I think it's an important message. And folks, we need the Lord. And blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we